Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Monday afternoon. Hour number two brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. A lot of football over the next 45 minutes. We'll get into an NFL no huddle just a couple of minutes from right now to kick off the noon hour. Back into some SEC Media Days conversation. Should have some audio from Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the conference, in about 20 minutes as well. Then kind of do the play it by ear thing as we do with events like this, where we're broadcasting from Murph's, right? Cobb
yes.
Galleria. There may very well be some baseball guests coming by
Correct.
During the show today. Obviously, we're also live at SEC Media Days, and it seems like around 12:40, 12:45 is when some of the guests are going to make their way over to our table, sit down and talk with us. It could be Shane Beamer from South Carolina. It could be Garrett Nussmeier, the quarterback from LSU, or otherwise. But the back end of this hour seems like when the interviews will start to take place.
Yeah. Yesterday, we were here, a lot of Braves fans. Today, you're seeing more teams. I saw Houston. Obviously, the gentleman we were talking to was with Minnesota. See a Pittsburgh Pirate guy over there. So, yeah, the fans are definitely are rolling in and everything. Like you said, this is – did they call this the Midsummer Classic?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
All right. Look at me. Look at me with my logue.
Look at you.
With your logue.
Professional sports broadcaster.
Yeah, man.
Randy McMichael.
Doing my thing, man.
Look at that.
But I love this place, Murph, because, like, everything is him.
And if I
had my own sports bar, I would put myself in everything.
Yeah, if I had a place called Bunks,
yes.
It would just be pictures of me like this.
No kids or nothing, just me.
The problem is that you could do it because you played professional sports and college sports. Like, you could have cool pictures of you doing your job. If it was my bar, what would it be? Just me with the headset on?
Dude.
Doing interviews?
There's so many pictures, so many different angles.
It's true. But, like, with Dale Murphy, it's like, all right, there he is looking cool in the red pinstripes in the 80s, getting ready to
Dude,
hit.
Dude, this uniform is freaking awesome.
This one here, he just crushed one to left field in the baby blues.
Yeah, man. That one right there, though.
That one there is the Rawlings poster that every kid had where he's got his hat over his chest and the American flag in the background. Like, there's, you know.
Yeah.
He's got a lot to choose from.
Yes, he is awesome. This is awesome.
Player. It is cool to have your own bar and just only have your own stuff.
Yeah.
Like, cause,
and a UCF flag.
And a random UCF flag.
Yeah. I'm assuming that's where he went to college.
No, he did not. He did not go to UCF.
A random UCF flag. All right.
I don't think he went to college, as far as I know.
But no, I'm saying, this is a random – maybe his daughter goes to school there?
Maybe.
Something like that. I don't know. But that's the first thing I know. I was like, hold on. Is that a UCF flag?
I think we asked the last time we were
Did
here.
We?
I think like the bar manager or something went to UCF.
Oh.
No. Dale Murphy didn't go to college. He got drafted. He's from Portland, Oregon, and got drafted out of high school and then just played baseball.
That's pretty funny. He's random ass and all of this beautiful establishment that we're in. UCF flag.
The other thing I like, too, is, you know, because he played for some other teams.
Yeah.
Like the end of his career.
No.
None of that crap's in
None
here.
None of that crap's in here. Nothing at all.
Dale Murphy, the Marlin. There's no none of that. Oh, sorry. The Rock, Colorado Rocky. Sorry, not Marlins.
It's even worse.
It's even worse.
It's even worse, man. But no, it is always fun.
Dale Murphy, the Philly. Hell no.
Oh, hell no. We would not. He wouldn't dare. He wouldn't dare do anything like that. But no, this place is just freaking awesome with all the memorabilia. That's why I was asked, like, does he have this in his attic?
I don't know.
Or like donations and all those different things. Hey, I'm open at a bar. I need y'all to find everything that has me on it.
I also like they've got like a little store over there where you can get some stuff, and some of it's like generic Brave stuff, but all the jerseys are Dale Murphy jerseys.
Yes, exactly. So that's what I'm
You can't get an Acuna jersey here. You can't get nobody. Just if you want a Braves jersey at this establishment, it's a Dale Murphy jersey.
Yeah.
I like that.
But, yeah, these jerseys, they got to bring them back, though. That pinstripe red, oh, that's awesome.
I know.
That's
like, awesome. If they're going to do maybe, like, the next city edition, it could be inspired by that.
Right.
I understand the last one you wanted to do, like, kind of the Hank Aaron
era-inspired
right. uniform. But, yeah, that 80s red pinstripe. And do it where there's no no buttons. It's just the V-neck.
Yes.
Because that's like a pullover V-neck jersey.
Yes.
That's you got to do it like that.
Sick.
That thing's so classic.
Sick.
It's so good. And then I also love the 80s baby blue. Every team had an 80s baby blue. It seems like.
Yeah.
And a lot of teams have
brought. I like the Phillies baby blue.
Burgundy is great.
Yeah, I like theirs.
Yeah. The Blue Jays had an awesome one.
Yes.
Like, obviously, the Braves had theirs. Everybody had one in the 80s. It was great. All right. Let's get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour. NFL No Huddle every single day to lead the noon hour here as we are, what, like 10 days away from Falcons training camp debuting. We will be at Flowery Branch next Thursday broadcasting live, getting ready for the Falcons season. A couple teams reported over the weekend, the teams that are playing the Hall of Fame game, right?
I mean, it's crazy because it's like, damn, it's already here. You know, and we talked yesterday about, you know, more than ever, there are second-round guys. There are a lot of unsigned. We always talk about the unsigned first round because you never really hear about other rounds when a lot of guys are unsigned, but that's not the case. There's 30 of the 32 that are not.
Yeah, basically every – well, they're not officially holdouts except for Trey Harris.
Yes.
Because the Chargers reported, and he's not there.
And he doesn't have a contract, so they can't find him.
Right.
Yeah.
He just isn't a part of the team at this point.
Yeah.
So hopefully they get that taken care of. We talked a little bit about this yesterday when we were doing our Sunday show. Was it the Texans, right?
Yes.
Texans screwed it up for everybody on this one.
They always do.
They fully guaranteed a second-round contract, and now everyone wants theirs fully guaranteed.
I'm just glad that they finally got something right, and then they go back and do this. All right, you go out, you let a damn team chaplain run your team for 5 years.
Yeah, they did do that.
Yeah, then you get the
environment. And trade away just some generational players.
It's great players. Yeah. And then all of a sudden now it's time to do this, and you want to do something that's never been done before. Now, right, I ain't mad at the young boys for the second round.
Good for him and his agent.
Good for y'all. Mm-hmm. Good for y'all. But it's always that expectation around the league when it's a little blip. It's always happens in the NFL when something just goes off course. Because out of all the leagues, they look at themselves as this is us.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, and you know the other 32 owners are looking at the two teams that did it like, come on, guys,
what the hell is wrong with
y'all? Didn't we already collude to not do this with Deshaun Watson?
Yes.
What are we doing?
Yes.
Do we need to collude again to make sure that we're not doing this
stuff? Do we need to get on a damn group chat? Because I'm sure they all got a group chat with all the owners and GMs and get this together because, like, dude. You just screwed up everything.
But they got to do the group chat that disappears, though.
Yeah.
They can't have a paper trail.
Oh, no, dude. We can't.
Yeah, you're getting in trouble for that.
No, they don't have no damn. They got burned.
They got burners.
Burning homes.
Yeah, or just like people, you know. They don't even have group chats. They just like send associates to a common location.
Yeah.
And they talk it out. Also, I think that they can collude just with body language.
You think so?
Yeah. I think you could be like, hey, I saw Houston fully guaranteed their second round wide receivers contract. Do you think you'd do that? And then you just kind of give him
a nod or like that.
Like the raised eyebrow?
Probably not.
What about you?
Yeah. Probably not. That's all I was saying. Would a second-round pick derail a team if they hold out throughout the season? Because one thing
but it's not good.
No, but it's not good. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not a good look.
So how close are we to like a fifth-rounder holding out?
Boy. But, hey, how long ago was it when we said no kids would opt out of – the playoffs.
Yeah.
They opted out.
They sure did.
So all of them still think the same.
Dude, there's going to be.
Yeah. Obviously, you know, they have this new generation of thinking. I'm a fifth rounder. Yeah, I know I'm a fifth rounder.
So? They're sleeping on me.
I'm battling for a starting spot.
I genuinely believe, as much as we're kind of making fun of it.
That happened.
Like, in this NIL era of promises
and
leaving if I don't get my way kind of stuff, there's going to be a fifth-round draft pick, long snapper. Like, I need that fully guaranteed.
I need it.
Or else I'm out.
I ain't mad at him, dog.
Patrick Mahomes is not a fan of a possible 18-game schedule.
Yeah.
But is open to it under one condition. If there's a way that you can add some extra bye weeks to give guys time for their bodies.
I agree with that.
You'd have to
to do that.
Right?
I agree with that. I think that, you know, because there's going to be an 18th.
There's
going to
be an 18th.
Yeah, I mean, that's just what it is. But, you know, you want to try – because the one thing you're doing is – you know, I mean, the most important thing about football are the games themselves. No doubt about it. But what you're doing is that you're taking away the preparation for those games. And allowing yourself to find rhythms and all those different things, because they're going to take away into the preseason game in order to do that.
Which is fine.
Yeah. Whatever. But it's just, you know, it's a process where, hell, I don't care what you like. I don't care if you want an extra bye week. We ain't going to do it. Y'all going to play this damn schedule.
You kind of feel, though, like, yes, you're right. They can do that. Maybe that is what they'll do. But, like, if they're going to stick with the farce that they really prioritize player safety,
right?
Which obviously they don't, but like they've really hitched their wagon to that idea,
right?
you got to throw an extra bye week in there if you're
you
do
should,
this, right?
You like, should.
Yeah.
But then because of the bye week, because what they want the Super Bowl on that
President's Day weekend, which I'm all for.
Yeah.
Like, that sounds great. Then we get Monday off, and it's a holiday for everybody, and that's great. What's more presidential than a Monday off to nurse your hangover after a football game. That sounds
pretty
good to me.
So that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get that the Super Bowl Sunday on that weekend. You know, it ain't about because the players don't have any say if this game goes 18.
No.
You know, it won't be no go run it by the players or anything. They'll come up. They'll show up with studies and all that other crap. But outside of that, they're going
to
be playing 18.
Well, the only reason they haven't done it yet, to me, is because they want that guaranteed revenue boost whenever they do it.
Yes.
Right now, it's going up annually no matter what with all the betting money that's coming in and the new streaming contracts and all that kind of stuff. Like, we don't need to goose the numbers yet.
Right.
But as soon as that stuff flattens out after you get every dollar you can from Amazon or whoever else, then, all right, now we got 18 games. Now we got another week.
Yeah.
Let's boost the numbers up a little bit.
Yeah.
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 Because Roger Goodell's goal from the very beginning was to make the NFL a $15 billion a year business. And when he took it over, it was like 6.5. And now it's over 10. So he's working his way towards it. And it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, he wouldn't have said it publicly if he didn't think that he could do it. But, yeah, this will be a part of that.
Yeah,
that's an extra billion per year probably.
Yeah.
One more game.
And that's why when Jerry will be acting up when it's time to pay Roger, you know, because Jerry just do that just to do that.
Yeah, just because no one else is.
Yes.
Like, can we give this guy a hard time a little bit? Like, we are still in charge around here.
Damn, man.
You know?
All right, I know I got to sign this damn check for $1.5 million. Oh, this is a video Bo sent us last week. The one he was talking about last week with the dude that beat up the guy at the golf course.
Man, he is absolutely destroying that guy's face.
What is wrong? Stop.
Stop fighting.
Dude, he's wobbling.
Dude, no, don't get up.
Dude, that's the worst. When you're wobbling and you want more. Very rarely have you seen a guy who gets wobbly like that, got the rubber legs, end up winning the fight.
No, you don't come back from that. Not in the wild like that. Like maybe in a boxing match if you get to the corner and, you know, you get some help. Not on a golf course against a bigger man.
Like, damn.
Don't get knocked out on the golf course, all right? Like, there's nothing more embarrassing than golf fights.
Oh, God.
Come on, y'all.
They are bad.
Come on, guys.
They're bad.
The only thing closer is getting knocked out in a stadium bathroom.
Because you face down in a urinal.
You're face down on the urinal cake. What's worse, face down on the tee box style urinal? It's worse.
Where?
Because there's pee.
Oh, there's pee.
Yeah.
And you might really butt, at least the grass soft.
That's true. You can land and use soft grass.
You hit that urinal.
That's porcelain.
You leaking.
That's right. You know what? Don't fight in the bathrooms. All right. We got some Greg Sankey, SEC commissioner, audio bites coming up next. He's talking about all kinds of different stuff going on with the conference as SEC media days are underway today. We'll take a quick break and come back right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I've been in, but by the way.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy. With you here on a Monday afternoon live at Murph's Cobb Galleria. The bar's filling up, Randy. People are finding the 92.9 The Game location and coming by to see us.
Yes.
We appreciate it. We love seeing everybody here at Murph's.
Yeah, we do. It looked like Dale just got back.
Yeah, I saw Dale Murphy walk by.
Yeah. I'm going to go ask him a question. I'm like, where'd you get all this stuff? I'm just curious.
Did you just have it?
Yeah, just have it in your attic or anything like that, man. But, yeah, man, it's a lot of fun that we're having out here. And it seems like it's just, you know, it's still early in the day. More and more people will be coming through.
Yeah.
But just be careful getting over here, man. Because, you know, when I was coming up from where I live at, I'm like, it's 285 going 285 this morning.
Did it?
It did, and then it just opened up.
Really?
Yes. It did. It was 285, and then it just opened up.
I don't know what makes me more frustrated in traffic is, you know, when something – and it takes forever and it's bad and all that, and then you're just late –
Yes.
Or when it bogs down like that and then you finally get to the point and it's like, well, there's nothing happened.
There's nothing.
People just stop for what?
Yes.
Why has everybody stopped?
Yeah, man.
Infuriating.
So dog. Yeah, yesterday was perfect. It was
perfect.
Sunday.
Yeah.
Took me 33 minutes to get here, 33 minutes to get home.
Great.
Yeah, took me 56 minutes to get here this morning.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Double.
Dog. Yeah, man. But no, I'm glad. But we are here up in the house. Like we said, Duke Sabella are coming on after us, but it is SEC Media Days also, and we're going to be getting some guests. And so just be bear with us. Mid-sentence. Somebody might come over.
It's possible.
It's possible. It's possible.
And it seems like that's probably what's going to happen in about 15 minutes as, again, just sort of we'll explain the logistics to everybody listening. We're at Murph's. We've got Gordon here with us as our engineer on site, and he'll be here with Dukes and Bell too. Obviously, the steakhouse was at SEC Media Days today, so they're set up with an engineer over there, and they're just leaving the broadcast stuff set up. And connected to the radio station.
Has anybody ever stolen? Like, if somebody took some, would that be Garrett's fault?
It's a good question. Probably. Yeah.
Will said, yep.
Yeah, probably. That'd be on Garrett. That'd be coming out of his paycheck.
Somebody just came over and took our thing.
That'd be wild, though. Like, you just steal the Comrex device or something like that?
No.
I guess you could sell it.
I bet you could get some nice dough for a Comrex.
That's a good point. How much do you think one of those things goes for?
I don't know. I have one.
You do? Oh, yeah, that's right. I used to have one of those.
Yeah, I have one of those. I just got to figure out how to dial in. I want to hack into somebody else's stream. And just come on, just scare the hell out of somebody.
Oh, just get on somebody's radio show and just start going?
Yeah, get on somebody. Like, how do you – I don't want to mess with that thing because – I've been to mess something up. Anything can happen. I got to work from home again. anything can happen.
Me and Bo had this conversation the other day. It used to cross my – you know, like, you get intrusive thoughts. You're not supposed to do it, and you would never do it.
Yeah.
But it crosses your mind. Uh-huh. Like, you're standing up on, like, a – you know, like a high ledge with your brother or something like that. It's like, man, if I pushed him, you would never do it.
Right.
It enters your mind. I've had the thought of, like, when I used to do the radio show in the middle of the night, it's like if I just went rogue and just started going manifesto.
Yeah.
Like, and just started, you know, really losing it.
Right.
How long would it take before they shut it off? Like, how much could I get out there before they turned the radio off?
Because that would have to be, like, that would have to be the producer.
Yeah, but I'll lock the door. Well, I guess he could cut me
off. He cuts you off.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. But what if I drugged him, you know?
And you just, like, went on, this is how I feel about.
All right. Now, here's how I really feel.
I don't know. How hard a sleeper is Mike Conti?
That's a good
question. Because that's the first person everybody's going to call.
Phone's going to start ringing.
Phone's going to start ringing at Mike's house.
I bet I could get a good 10 minutes.
You think so?
I mean, you could say a lot of damaging stuff in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Now, again, how I really feel is how I portray myself on the radio every day.
I definitely
agree. So my manifesto is as simple as treat people well and, you know, things will go your way. Anyway, let's hear from Greg Sankey. He's the commissioner of the SEC, arguably the most powerful man in college football, certainly one of the five or ten most powerful men in college football. He's got his State of the Conference address on day one of the media days every single year. He spoke earlier. One of the things that he got into was talking about moving to 9 conference games in the SEC.
I don't believe there's anyone looking to swap their conference schedule and its opponents with the opponents played by Southeastern Conference teams in our conference schedule, be it 8 or 9. In the SEC, we're not lacking for quality competition among our 16 football teams. But we're going to continue to evaluate whether increasing the number of conference football games is appropriate for us. And as I've said repeatedly, understanding how the CFP will evaluate strength of schedule and even strength of record is critically important in our decision making.
That all makes sense.
Yeah.
It's all what he said before. I mean, ultimately, we don't have to.
Yes.
Like, our schedule's so good right now, and it's not costing us the thing that we want most, which is playoff teams.
Yes.
So we don't have to do that.
Right.
Like, as soon as it starts costing the SEC that final spot or 2 spots versus another conference,
they'll
consider it.
Yeah.
But my thing is just more from a logistics standpoint. Like, I get why he says that. He's right. Like, they don't have to do it. I just feel like you got 16 teams now. Like, it's hard to only play 8 games.
Right.
You only play half the conference every single year.
And it sucks.
So, yeah, you're gonna stack it up on an – and one game's not going to change it that dramatically,
right,
but it'll change it a little bit.
Yeah.
And you'll have one more game in there. The other thing, too, is, like, SEC conference games are fun.
Yes, they are.
From a viewer standpoint.
Yes, they are. But I think if you can't – the least amount of risk that you can take is what Sankey's doing.
Right. Now, he would never say that.
He would? No.
He would say because we have a guaranteed Power 5 non-conference game, so we basically do play 9 just like everybody else. But that's right. Of course it is.
Yeah, no, he can't just come out flat. Hey, yeah, we don't want to play because we scared that we lose.
We want the easiest path in. What do you think?
Yeah, because there's always been that thing. We beat up on each other throughout the conference and everything like that. If you add one more game, Andy, one more game, it's not going to make a significant physical toll on a player or something because it's an SEC conference game.
Right, and they're playing the game.
Yeah.
It's just against a non-conference opponent.
Correct. Yeah, so that's why I'm like, don't give me that part where it's just challenging and it's more physical than any other league. No, it's because you don't want to take the risk. And it is what it is. It's been years of complaining about the SEC schedule. And like you said, until something comes out where they lose something, then it won't change.
Yeah. I mean, if it goes to the format of 5 automatics and 11 at-large, they're going to get as many teams with 9 conference games as they would get with 8 conference games.
Yes.
Like, I don't see, I don't see that 12th or the, 16th, I guess, in that case. I don't see the 16th team getting left out if it's a, I guess it would be sort of a situation of like last year you had a Big Ten team with 2 conference losses and maybe you had Ole Miss or something like that with 3 in the SEC. Maybe if it costs you some money in a playoff team, you would do it. But I don't see them doing it anytime soon. But I could see them doing it eventually, though, just because everybody else has 9 and the conference is so big.
Yeah.
But it might not even be an SEC in 5 years. So who knows?
Who knows? Who knows?
They'll just have a bunch of little 10-team pods and everyone will play each other.
You remember we talked about like who went in a fight between the 2 ADs? You let it become bad. You let it become who wants to be the leader of the super conferences.
Oh.
Oh, it's going to be some duck to your butt.
Yeah. I think Sankey will be fighting it out with that Texas Tech billionaire who's throwing all his money and stuff.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know. I know Saban doesn't want any part of it.
No, he doesn't.
They've tried to make him do stuff. He's like, I don't want to do this. I just want to do game day. I got an Emmy for TV now. I'm good. All right, we'll come back. We'll see if we can get to a back page with Bo. We'll also possibly talk to Garrett Nussmeier, the quarterback from LSU. We might talk to Shane Beamer, the head coach of South Carolina. Whatever it is, it's going to be highly entertaining, and I would recommend staying where you are. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here live at Murph's Cobb Galleria this hour, the noon hour, brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. Speaking of Murphs, just got a chance to say what's up to the man himself. Dale Murphy kind of walking around, obviously a lot of duties during All-Star Weekend. And sounds like the plan with just how kind of busy he is and with SEC Media Day stuff going on with us, we'll probably talk to him tomorrow.
We're going to try to get him tomorrow and everything. But, yeah, he's a cool guy because I was asking him about all the memorabilia. He said some of it was in the basement. Some was donating and everything. But the funniest thing, he's like, should I kneel to you? I was like, what? He was like, yeah, I was listening when you got knighted. So Dale Murphy is a listener of 92.9 Game in the midday shows, as he said.
Loyal listener.
He said Dale Murphy. He said he listened when I got knighted.
That was really funny because you were talking to him, and I had to do some stuff during the break. So then I walked over, like, it's always awkward, like, mid-conversation, like, saddle up next to you. I'm like, I'm in the conversation, too. And then I got a moment, and I, shook his hand and introduced myself. And he was like, yeah, I know. I listen to you guys all the time. I was like, wow, that is
it's pretty badass.
That is pretty cool. I got to be honest with you. We're going to go even harder now on Murph Needs to Be in the Hall of Fame. Not that we've ever gone hard on that.
We have been behind that
the whole time. It's nonsense that he's not. But, I didn't know he was out there listening every time we were doing that. So now we're really going to double down on that. Murph belongs in the damn Hall of Fame. Two-time MVP. Come on. What are we doing here? Put him in there. Put him in Cooperstown.
Okay, we're just sitting waiting. We're going to go back page or we're going to wait for what we got going on?
Why don't we do this? Why don't we do – we'll do a back page here so we can get the sponsor in. And I know Bo's got a couple of good stories too.
All right.
And then while we're waiting to hear – because Garrett Chapman's down there at the College Football Hall of Fame going to set us up with the interviews. Whenever somebody sits down, we'll break into the back page and we'll do the interview. How's that sound?
That sounds good to me, though.
Let's do a back page. Brought to you by Solomon Brothers Jewelry. Go to one of their three locations or shop online at SolomonBrothers.com or on Instagram at Solomon Brothers. Or option three, like Shane Beamer sits down right now, maybe he just does the back page with us, you know?
Yeah, man, why not?
They're fun
stories. The dude is awesome.
He's got a good personality.
He's got a great personality.
I bet he would enjoy that a lot.
I bet he would. I bet he would. How are you, Bo?
So I'm great, fellas. Tons of stuff going on this weekend. Saturday afternoon, I got to come kick it with y'all for a minute and then went over to All-Star Village where I had a lot of fun. But kind of flying in under the radar was this thing happening Saturday night at State Farm Arena.
Goldberg?
Saturday night's main event from State Farm Arena this past Saturday featured Bill Goldberg's last match.
I thought Goldberg retired like 20 years ago.
I think he probably took some breaks.
Oh.
What's kind of weird is that when you bill a match as a guy's last match, of course, you know he's going to lose.
He lost?
Well, it was a championship match. So I don't know why. That's kind of a weird booking decision. Now, this whole thing may have gotten thrown in a kind of malfunction when Seth Rollins, you all know who Seth is, suffers an apparent knee injury earlier in the Saturday night's main event. It was expected by some that Bill Goldberg might win this retirement match, win the belt, and then Seth Rollins gets to come take his belt from him using the Money in the Bank briefcase, which y'all probably don't know a whole lot about.
Yeah, I remember Grant used to carry one.
He did. That's the exact
guess. Yeah, I remember Grant used to carry one, yeah.
So what that means is that you get a title shot whenever you want to, and that was expected. So Bill Goldberg loses the match, and then he has like a 10-minute, you know, retirement speech in the middle of the ring where he had there were some teary eyes. DDP was in the ring along with a lot of other people that he was surrounded with throughout his career.
Diamond Dallas Page.
Diamond Dallas Page came out?
His yoga place is up by my house.
Huh? There were
he does
no,
a yoga studio by
there
my
was
house.
No shortage of Bill Goldberg thanking the city of Atlanta and Athens.
I grew up wanting to be a professional football player. I was lucky enough to play at the University of Georgia. Go Dogs!
Okay.
Oh, yeah, there's some
I was lucky enough to play for the Atlanta Falcons. And I was lucky enough to beat Hogan in front of 45,000 of y'all. That's a Georgia Dome.
There you go. Thank you for everything, Bill.
Oh, man, that's crazy that he came back. And then because it's a WWE thing, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah, Saturday night's main event.
Oh, okay.
Saturday night's main event from back in the day. They do those you know, once every other month or so.
You remember when we were kids, they would come on like once every 6 months.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember that. They had me in tears as a little kid when Andre the Giant turned on Hulk Hogan on that one. but no, I'll tell you the craziest thing was you talk about the randomness of stuff and junk that you have in your house. I don't want to call it junk, but DDP sent me a whole box series of the yoga.
Really?
Oh, that's fantastic.
Before I got in this business or whatever, I had my own podcast.
Oh, I didn't know
a little
know
podcast,
that.
Yeah. Huh. And so – randomly, the guy who's the producer
surprised
of the show
me every day, Randy.
Knew Diamond Dallas Page. So we had DDP on for like an hour.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
What was the podcast called?
Randy Michael Hour.
That's great. See? No need to overcomplicate it. No need to overcomplicate
Randy Michael
Hour. God, that's great.
And you would go a whole hour?
Yeah.
It was you
fantastic.
And who?
It was me and then a buddy of mine. He worked for, Sports Central, right? It's a small radio station, small production company, and he came and approached me. Dude, bam.
That's awesome.
I had like two of my topics got on Yahoo.
Really?
Like on Yahoo Sports, yeah.
You're getting aggregated?
Yeah,
back
dog.
Then?
Yeah,
dang, man.
Yeah.
Should have known he was going to thrive in the radio game. Should have known.
See, y'all mentioned earlier something else that was happening over the weekend, actually Sunday night, last night. Y'all mentioned the Braves drafting a whole bunch of shortstops in this year's MLB draft.
Yeah.
Here is Ronit Shaw, who is the Braves' vice president of amateur scouting, talking about Tate Southsien. So you can figure out or find out what the Braves are getting with their first-round draft pick.
He's got the tools to play just about anywhere on the field because he's got an above-average arm. He's a plus runner. And just, again, just the athleticism and the looseness, the twitch that you need to play, whether it's shortstop, second, or center, but we're definitely going to send him out of shortstop. It's a little newer to him, the position for sure, so he's definitely going to need to polish up that side of the ball, but that's true for any high school shortstop. And worst come to worst, I think he's going to have the tools to play just about anywhere on the diamond, whether it's the infield, the outfield, and especially his feel for the game is so high and his baseball IQ, so that's going to really help him to develop wherever he ends up.
There you go. High baseball IQ, five-tool player. That's the Braves' first-round draft pick.
Well, and that's the idea with shortstops in general, right? Like them and center fielders are the most athletic guys on the field.
Yes.
You draft a guy at shortstop, he might play second base for you, he might play outfield, whatever. Right. But, you know, at that age, whether it's straight out of high school or college, the guys that are playing shortstop are pretty versatile.
Yeah, man. To me, it just seems like it's one of those things where one of them got to work out.
Right.
You know what I mean? One of them got to work out. Yeah. We got three of them.
Because I do feel like I wonder what, like, the hit rate is for high draft picks in the baseball draft. It's a little bit, like, more of a crapshoot than NFL for sure.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you get three shortstops that you feel good about athletically.
Yeah.
And 5 years from now, maybe one of them plays for the
big club. Maybe one of them pops. Yeah. Maybe one of them pops. That's the same thing when you draft all the damn pitches. Maybe one of them.
Exactly.
Out of the 10 that you drafted, maybe one of them might pop.
Because they drafted only pitchers in the first round for ever.
Yes.
And some of them worked out really good, and some of them didn't. But like we're talking about, like, doesn't you get drafted at a certain position doesn't mean you play your whole career there. There's a picture of Dale Murphy right there in catcher's gear. Obviously came up as a catcher, and then, you know, won an MVP as an outfielder. Two of them.
Speaking of outfielders, so y'all are there at Murph's because this week is the All-Star Game. Horn Derby is tonight, hosted by the great city of Atlanta. One person that's not making the trip for either event, though, is Andy's favorite Met, Juan Soto. Here's Juan Soto getting kind of snippety with a reporter.
Would you have liked to make the All-Star team?
What do you think?
I don't know. Some people want to take vacation.
I mean, I think it's a lot of money on the table if I make it.
Yeah, man.
Snippety, man.
I like it.
Oh, he was saying he wants to make it for the money?
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Lots of money being left on the table by him not making the All-Star
team. Oh, that's funny.
What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know. Yeah. He did just sign a $750 million contract.
I don't care.
So he's probably all right.
I don't care. I won't. I mean, I'm sure he has some kind of bonus or something.
Oh, sure. No, absolutely.
Yeah, I want my bonus.
And you get the money for being – you get extra money for being on the All-Star
team. So I done lost out on however much money because y'all didn't want to vote for me? You're damn right I'd be having that damn attitude.
I would say play better.
Yeah. You know? Dude, he's been awesome. He been Juan Soto.
The last month.
But
he
ain't been –
he got off to a tough start.
Yeah.
Got off to a bad start. And obviously the scrutiny of New York and all
that. Yeah, it got on him.
And there was, you know, there was narratives that wouldn't have been there had he not played for New York with the hustle and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then for a month he batted like .390 and was one of the best hitters in baseball. But, yeah, he'll probably be all right.
Yeah. I wonder how much he lost.
I don't know. I don't know what the bonus is for making the All-Star game.
I think it's probably different with every team. You know, the Phillies ended up paying out what's-his-name's bonus that should have gone instead of Mesorowski. At least they think that he should have gone. It was $50,000.
They gave him his money.
They gave him his money anyway.
What a good – I'm not going to say nothing nice about the Phillies.
Yeah, let's not talk all this niceness about all these NL East teams.
Yes.
These guys are enemies and we
nice
hate them.
Nothing nice.
I mean, look, if we're ever going to say nice stuff about the NL East teams, wouldn't it be this year? You know?
No.
I guess you're so mad that the Braves are bad. It'll make you feel better to say bad stuff.
I don't know that it's necessarily a mad because the Braves are bad thing. It's a thing. There are rivals. And
I understand. I get that. I get that. I'm just saying, like, you know.
So stay at home, Juan Soto. I don't
We're
care how much money
with
you're
anybody
out.
This year. We're our own rivals
Hell
this year.
They're so bad you can even clap back at people.
Yeah.
So I was kind of wishing that Abe was going to be here to hear this one because he may be the only one out of the four of us that knows who this person is. Have y'all ever heard of the internet streamer Lola?
Yeah.
You have?
It's one of my favorite streamers.
One of your faves?
Yeah.
Is she starred on your
on your
influencer list?
Yeah. She influenced a lot of stuff I've done.
So apparently Leonard Fournette is a fan of Lola. So if you're doing these Twitch streams or wherever you choose a stream from, I think you can do it on YouTube too. You can give the streamers gifts.
Okay.
Right? And I guess they have a monetary value or they have like a coin value that they can use on the internet or whatever. So I don't know if this is a new way of celebrities or just people in general sliding into DMs is by giving them gifts while they're streaming. But apparently Lola has a pretty big fan, and it's former Jacksonville Jaguar and LSU Tiger Leonard Fournette. He decided to gift her like 500 coins or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And jeepers creepers, woman, just learn the dude's name.
God! Leonardo Fournette! I mean, oh my gosh, Leonardo with 100 gifted.
Hold on, what's she look like?
Leonardo.
This is Lola Clark, right?
I don't know.
I'm asking both.
I didn't catch her last name.
What's her streamer name?
She goes by Lola. I can find that out.
Okay,
she's not unattractive.
Only Lolas I know is like my kid's grandma.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, that's the only Lolas I know. But
I don't know if this is her or not.
I'm just trying to think, why did he do that? Because that sounds like he's trying to, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's trying to buy some attention.
Exactly right. He's trying to buy a little time.
Like buy a little time.
Unfortunately for him, she got both of his names wrong.
Tell me this.
First and last.
I don't know what she looked like. Bo said she's attractive. Would that matter to you?
Does that make it better?
Does it make it better?
If you're publicly throwing money at somebody? Yeah, I think it makes it better.
Okay.
I think so, probably.
All right.
I think it would make it better if it worked.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, she had to notice that.
Uh-huh.
And then she's like, oh, like, when somebody – because I'm assuming what he gave her, coins, that's bread, right?
I assume that's money.
I'm assuming that's, like, money.
Probably some form of money.
All right.
I have some sort of crypto or something.
All right.
He doesn't play anymore, does he?
No.
Dang it. It'd be really funny if he scored a touchdown and the announcer called him Leonardo Fornetti.
Leonardo Fornetti.
All right, we're going to grab a break here on the other side. More than likely going to catch up with some folks from SEC Media Days. I know Shane Beamer's making the rounds down there, as well as Garrett Nussmeier. Final hour coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.